Hi, yeah. I was tasked to preach because my name is written in the prospective list of graduates. So this is a privilege, you know. But I haven't been long in the pulpit since I came to the seminary. And as I prayed, you know, the feeling is very different because you haven't preached for 3 years and you've forgotten all, you know, what you've been doing then. But God is so good. God led me to this passage where Rifat read a while back. Thank you for that reading. From Luke 11, 39, that's actually 37 to 44. Yeah. We've seen, actually, the passage goes through until verse 53. And these are actually the woes of Jesus Christ to the Pharisees and to the experts of the law. But we will only be dealing with the first set, which is only for the Pharisees. Yeah, we have the verses up front. Verses 37 to 44 is for the Pharisees. Those are the woes for the Pharisees. And 46 to 52 are for the experts of the law. You know, the passage right here confirms only a little of the expectations there is when it comes to the Pharisees during the time Jesus walked on earth. There is no doubt why the Pharisees should be expected much. If we study, you know, a first-time reader of the gospel will look at the gospel and will view the Pharisees as like cold and selfish, indulgent people, and hypocrites because that's what's read in the gospels. But a first-time reader would have that perspective. But actually, in the time of Jesus, the Pharisees are not looked at upon that way. They were looked at upon as respected religious leaders. Yeah, we see here that the Pharisees are actually the strictest observers of the law of Moses. We also see here that they were especially esteemed by decent. We see in the Bible that they had the character of zealousness when it comes to the law. They were actually zealous when it comes also to tradition. Yeah, there you go. Fifth, they were rigid in their fasting. And we have verses here that proves all these things. The Pharisees were also active in proselyting. They were active in converting others to be like them. They were active in evangelizing. Seventh, they are actually paying all their dues and they are very faithful in doing this. Lastly, their opinions was standard for others and we can add more to the list. But the Pharisees were definitely regarded as high people of the government or of the society during those times. They were respected and looked upon because they were basically the model of what? Of course, we studied of the law, the model of being a Jew. They were the rightly people to interpret the law of Moses. But it becomes interesting when we see Jesus Christ going forth and being frank to the Pharisees and viewing them deeper than what the people saw them. So actually, Jesus respects the Pharisees. Jesus respects them. In fact, there are several occasions in the Bible that Jesus dines with the Pharisees. As per what? The Pharisees invites Jesus to come and dine with them. And truly, in Luke, we find three different occasions where Jesus dines with the Pharisees. One is wherein the alabaster jar. Remember the story of the broken alabaster jar, and yeah, it's in the Pharisees. Jesus was dining with the Pharisees then, so this was the second scenario. So Jesus did not actually completely reject the Pharisees, but he knew deeper than what there is in these people. Actually, a number of them had become his disciples, like, can you mention one? Paul. And the other one is Nicodemus. So these are Pharisees who became the disciples of Christ. And so Jesus had to do what he has to do. He's got to reveal to them what was taking place among them and be honest to them, telling them frankly who they are face to face. Yeah, so we see the different woes in these verses in the book of Luke. So the first one, the Lord said to them, "Now Pharisees, cleanse the outside. Now you Pharisees, you cleanse outside the cup of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did you not know that he who made the outside made the inside also? But give alms to those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. The verse of Rifat a while back, she said, give to the needy and you will, something like that, you will be clean in the inside. So Jesus was definitely using a metaphor here, implying that the body and implying about the body and the soul. So the Pharisees were so exact when it comes to following the law. And Luke did not forget to mention the reaction of the host Pharisee. He was astonished, he was surprised, he was astounded, and he was shocked when he saw that Jesus did not wash his hands before he dined. So Jesus actually was illustrating what he meant when he said these words, that there are greater things than the physical, and even greater things when the mind, well, even greater things than what the mind can know, and these things should not be neglected. You know, it's not easy to be in the seminary. Do you agree? It's not a seminary. It's not just because of the requirements. It's not just because of all the adjustments that we experience and all other stuff we can add to the list. But it becomes more difficult to be in the seminary when our knowledge increases. Our knowledge increases, and then little by little, our knowledge forbids our hearts to increase with our minds. Too much of the mind separates us from the masses. Too much of the mind allows us to focus on physicality. Too much of the mind leads us only to the power of knowledge, forgetting all else that lies inside here, inside our hearts. Jesus tells us to clean both what is inside and our body, to clean both what is inside our body and what is outside our body. Jesus tells us that the heart and the inner righteousness right here is more important than what is outside, or what he just illustrated, more important than ceremonial washings. Jesus tells us to equalize our hands and feet with what we merely tend to know. Let me show you a photo here. Just one click. There you go. I will never forget this one. It was shown to me when I was in high school, but until now, it flashes in my mind. A big, big head with a very, very small heart with just the right hands and right feet. Let's see the other one. There you go. A very, very big heart, but no knowledge in it. Very, very small mind with just the right hands and feet. What do you prefer? On the right or on the left? Let's see the third one. There you go. Just the right head, just the right knowledge, just the right heart, with just the right hands and feet. Isn't that cute? Jesus tells us to balance both. Hey, as seminarians, hey, your head's becoming bigger, but your heart I can no longer see. Sometimes, hey, you're just full of heart, but I don't see your knowledge increasing in the seminary. Balance this, please, my child. And so he slaps you. Do your requirements. Pook, do not watch. Pook, see, we balance both the head and the mind and the heart. And so in us, you know, actually the first time the street children came here in the campus was a very big challenge to everybody. Why so? I witnessed their first coming of the children here this year. This year, when we officially opened it more, they had dirty hands, they had dirty feet, their nails are very, very long, and then it's full of color black, and when we try to remove it, we cannot remove it, we don't even know why, but when we wash our hands, you know, stuff's coming to our nails just easily wash off. But for them, no, you cannot remove. Even when you use knife or scissors or nail cutter, you cannot. And so they are smelling like rugs, they are smelling like the creek, they have very dirty bodies, they have clothes worn 10 years ago, never washed, never been washed, they have uncombed hair, which is so hard that when you try to comb their hair, their head follows the comb. The comb almost, break. And you know, you don't even want to touch them or hug them because of how they look. But it was such a challenge to the people who came. You know, being in their presence was actually being in the presence of God, because we see them how God sees them, and God breaks our heart. And so when you see the children, either you let your mind speak to you that, hey, no, 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 that's not me. No, 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 that's not for me. Oh, no, they can handle that. That's not for me. Either you let your mind speak to you, or what? Or you let the heart of God rule over you and see how these children are in the very eyes of God. You know, in us, they see an image of a mother. In us, they see an image of a father, a brother, and a sister, which they do not see back there in the streets. After being long with them, I witness and I believe that in us they see the image of God. Jesus reminds us to clean the inside and to clean our hearts. How do we clean our hearts? How do we clean the inside? Give to the needy what is inside, and then you will be clean. Isn't that nice? Give to the needy what is inside, and then you will be clean. We don't have the best program for these children. We don't have even a shelter for them. It's not enough. What we give them is not enough. But we give our hearts to them. We spend our time with them. We should see them just as Christ sees them and love them as Christ does. Pour out what is inside. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Show to the brokenhearted what strength in Christ there is. Go beyond the physical and be a father, be a sister, be a brother to those who have none. Most of us are involved in ministries before we came here, yeah? Now that we are here, let us not stop doing so. Though we may be in a foreign land, me too, I am not from here. I had many adjustments when I came here. I felt foreign when I came here, even though I'm a Filipino by blood. There is always a place where God wants us to be in, and God wants us to be influential in. So let's look at the second verse. There you go. Verse 42. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. This you ought to have done without neglecting the others. I was asking God, God, what do you mean by this? This is so difficult. This is a difficult verse for me. But you see, Jesus did not neglect the rightful act of the Pharisees, which was to tithe. Rather, Jesus Christ reprimanded them to balance their action and their knowing the reason why they are doing so. And so, there is an overdoing of practice, that it becomes plainly just an act, nothing more and nothing less. They have abandoned justice. They have abandoned justice in their giving. Fairness has been lost. It's totally lost. It's not in the picture, never in the minds of the Pharisees. Forgetting equality, balance, and righteousness as honorable people of the society. In their hearts, there was no acceptability and fairness when they look at the poor, when they look at the fatherless, when they look at the widows or servants, none. It's nothing to them. There's no equality. There's no justice. They have forgotten the love of God in their giving. This is a reminder to us who tithe. This is a reminder to us who contribute to the kingdom of God, that yes, we should keep on giving. That yes, we should keep on giving. It is rightful that we should give, but not forget the reasons why we give. When we give, either be it in service, in word, or in our tithes and offering, let us give cheerfully. You know, the feeling of sometimes, oh, let me choose what color to give. I don't want to give color blue, the light blue one. I don't want to give, let's go to yellow. I don't want to give the yellow one. And then the paper bill goes less and less. And then finally, you give the orange, you know. Be cheerful in your giving. Let's open our hearts and let's be willing to empty ourselves and acknowledge that everything we have and every skill we possess, every treasure or ability only comes from God Almighty. And we ought to bring it back to the altar as an offering. We give back to God because He is a great provider. We came here. We didn't know how to study. Some of us didn't have money to enroll, but God is providing us right when the paycheck comes in. We've witnessed how God provides. And so in Psalms it's written, for God owns the earth and everything that is in it. And truly here in APNTS, when we are tasked to play the music, when we are tasked to be an usher, when we are tasked to do the PowerPoints, either things that are seen or unseen by people, God and God alone is the only one who sees your heart. We go to the next verse. It says here, this is the last two woes for the Pharisees. Loving the most important seats in the synagogues. Woe to you. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. In the synagogues, there is a certain place where Pharisees sit down on, and there are all the people in the assembly sees them. And so they love, you know, appraisal. They love the praises of man. They started to enjoy the applauses and began magnifying themselves through it as well. Secondly, here in the last verse, in the context of the Jews, graveyards are the graveyards or the tombs are unclean. So once you touch a tomb, you too become unclean, and you have to go under a ceremony for you to be clean. And so the tombs during their time were either in the gardens or were put in caves or under the tree. And surely today, we put markings so that we know that there is a dead body in it. They will know if this place or this spot is unclean, and I will not touch it because I don't want to be unclean. But Jesus here is talking about grave underneath the land with no markings, pronouncing that the Pharisees were basically like graves. The Pharisees had no life. They had no influence, no power. And the worst thing is that people who encounter them and walk over them because they are not marked as tombs becomes unclean like them. They only not harm themselves, but they also harm others. How harsh this illustration is. How harsh this illustration could be. But Jesus is the truth, and he knows the truth, and he's the one saying this. To my fellow graduating students and to my fellow scholars in APNTS, all of our friends here and family members, as we minister to people and be exposed to the outside world, let us never forget that the best seating position in the church belongs only to God and not to ourselves. As we deal with people's problems, as we pray for them, and as we pastor the people in our churches, children, youth, adults alike, let us lead them to the cross and forget about the praises to ourselves. All praises only belongs to God alone. In the real world, outside these walls and in the sight of God, we are all equal. Let them learn from us. Let them learn from us. And then let us learn from them as well. When the graduates march next year, it's only a few months from now, half a year, very counted days. There are a lot here who will graduate on March. And when we go back to our home places or wherever God is leading us to be, let us desire to leave an impact wherever we may be. It might be challenging though. Do you agree that it might be challenging? It will be very challenging. You know, I had many reasons why I hated to enter a Bible school before my college days. People were telling me, oh, go to the Bible school and study, go to it. At the back of my mind, I keep on saying, Bible school, You know, for 6 years of my life, I really had been vocal to people, telling them that never, I will never step into a Bible school and study. I grew up in Sunday school, and as said by Dr. Dick, I wasn't expecting that. Thank you, though. And I have seen how people expect much from a pastor. People expect much from you. People expect much. If you are a minister, they look high above you. And then there is much demands. And I don't know if I can live with that. Even God himself expects much from us. When you enter the seminary, there is always a feeling of excitement at the beginning. But the excitement actually lasts long. It's not only in the beginning. Because you encounter different people from different places. Just look at the beautiful people beside you. Experience different speaking languages. And then we find ourselves in a diverse culture. We just wake up, oh, It's very diverse here, you see. And so the excitement lasts long because also of our professors. They have very different standards, and it's very difficult to you know, give our best to them because they all are very different in a different way. And so it's exciting, you know, to please our professors. Others have other ways of pleasing their professors. And so I will not forget to mention the excitement of tasting different kinds of good food from all over the world, especially when it's Koinonia time. Yeah? After Koinonia, oh, what's the food in your group? Oh, what's the food in your group? Oh, we only had this. Oh, we only had this. Ah, it's okay. Next time we'll have this. See, all of these are bringing excitement to us. But despite the fun, we also had difficulties. We experienced peaks and roadsides of hard times too. Especially we experienced the sleepless nights, stressful paper writings, of double space font size, 12 times New Roman with the right margin, properly footnoted. What else? Whatever homework it is, it should not be grounded with plagiarism, or else you'll die. So this diverse culture that we experience sometimes also brings us to clash. We experience all this inside, and there are a lot more to mention. But as we advance here in our stay in APNTS, people back from our hometowns and from our churches also tends to look upon us with greater standards. I don't know why. But if you're a graduate of seminary, oh, you're a graduate of the seminary. Oh, you're a graduate. They have a certain standard for, you know, graduates of the seminary, especially for ministers. But is it not reasonable? Fellow scholars, we came here for further learning. We came here for further discipline. We came here for further knowledge of the truth. We came here for affirming what God has called us to be. Some might even not know why you are studying. But this beautiful seminary, once you step out as a graduate of it, you will carry along with you the mark of its influence. And wherever you may go, wherever we may go, we must carry it with us and leave an impact wherever that place may be. We can never leave an impact without being connected to the giver of it. So pray for the graduates. Pray for us. These passages speak to us as we move from the seminary outside to the real world. Pray for the graduates because the seminary has been our comfort zones. Here inside the school, people are so kind. Here inside the school, you see smiles everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are smiles and greetings, and it's so bright, and it's, you know, every corner is very bright. There's just this, the presence of God in here. But outside, living with the real world may be a challenge for the graduates. And for us to be a light in the darkness will be a challenging task to do. Pray for our strength. We need to be strong in facing more difficult challenges than paperwork and deadlines for our courses. We need strength to deal with people and with their problems. We merely need not knowledge. We may be done with paperworks, but our readings will never stop. We need wisdom from the Lord. We need understanding. Pray that the graduates may not forget all that we have learned here in the seminary and learn to apply it in the outside. Pray that we live in peace, that we live in joy, and we live in love despite all the demands there is, expectations from a seminary life. Also pray for us that we will have a continuous, deeper devotions with God, to count the cost, to carry our own cross, and to follow Jesus Christ. To all of us, let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly God, thank you for once again you've spoken to us, Lord, in a very different way. God, we are excited so much that after years from now, we will see our classmates, our professors in different places serving you. And we pray, Lord, that all of us humble ourselves down continuously before your throne and know the real meaning of service in you, God. We love you, Lord, and we just want to say yes to you wherever you may lead us, wherever we may go. Thank you. Bless us, keep us throughout of this day. This is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.